looks like I either need more space or I should thinner myself. Good morning. In January, the week that we cancel meeting, it is supposed to be my turn. So I was so happy. Look at the snow. Oh, I don't have to do it. So this morning when it snow again, I say, hey, get bigger. Okay. Actually, after singing these two hymns, I do not think we should have any more words, but only to wish all come before our Lord and pray. No need to add any single word to it, but just quiet down ourselves, bow before Lord and pray to Him. But well, since that is not the arrangement, I dare not to change it. But if I have the such a big desire, just we all pray about it. And actually, the first one, 373, I picked 373. Let us flip back to that song. I always feel that it is unfair to you guys, because for me, this hymn has been in my heart for a few weeks already. So I keep on looking at it, keep on singing about it, keep on meditating on it, keep on looking at the words, of course, in Chinese, because my English is bad. Keep on looking at it. So to me, this hymn has helped me a lot. This hymn means a lot to me. Actually, this morning when we are driving to the meeting, I said, whenever we sing this song, any problem won't be a problem anymore. Any difficulty in our life won't be any difficulty anymore. Any distress, any mistreatment, any bad thing we consider bad thing happen to us won't be a bad thing anymore. Whenever I look at the English, I don't have that kind of feeling because, well, Chinese is my first language. So how about I will just paraphrase the Chinese and take up the meaning again. In the first stanza, this is written by Brother Watchman Nee. I think when he wrote this one, he has experienced a lot in his life and also on his way of following our Lord Jesus Christ. When we go through the hymn, when we go through the words, we find that it is not something, someone just purposely to write something to impress someone else. It is someone who has experience in his life and reflect in his inner being and sing this song to our Lord. In the first one, it says, in the little part, Mary has seen his weeping, has seen his tears, and know how painful he is, Brother Nee first ponder one thing. Don't look at our own. Look at our Master's first. What Maria or what Mary looked at that time. Look at how painful our Lord is when he cries. Not our condition, not our despair. And verse 2, 3, 4, and 5, he draw up a comparison. The first one is the one that is our hope. Our hope is in the future. Our hope is in heaven. How great it is. How comfort it is. That we do not need to go through any of this trouble, despair on earth again. But after going through of much of his difficulties on earth, Brother Neith found one thing. He found all these trials, difficulties, despair, headaches, hurts, are blessings. In Stanza 2, he said, soon we will know our Lord completely. But today's healing touch, we won't have it anymore while we were up there. In the future, we will have endless praise, but we won't have weeping and tearing prayer. We won't have those comforting when we are hurt, and we won't have those dependence on him when we face trials, difficulties. One side, he is looking up for what we have, what we will have in the future. But on the other hand, he treasures what we are having now, today. In the heaven, in the stanza 3, in heaven we have glorious crown, but we won't have all those things we do for him. We might go into our rest and peace, but we won't go through any trial anymore. And we won't go through those things that we want to give up for him. In the fourth one, he said, our chance for him is so small, so little now. All our chances will be gone, will be passed away. We won't have that many chances for his sake to be being insulted, being scolded, being laughed at. We won't have that many chances for him to be misunderstood. To be singled out, to be sorrow and separation. I should treasure all this soon be gone blessing, and use this to be in union with him. And the last sentence in the fifth stanza. That I will hope that I won't be regretting in the future that I pass my opportunity today. When we sing hymns like this, if we truly, truly sing this hymn to our Lord, I do believe this hymn will lead us into one conclusion. It is to tell our Lord that, yes, Lord, I am your servant. I want to live for you. I want to face all these trials, despair, separations, loneliness, misunderstood, for your sake. So So many times we come to the meeting as a taker. We want to come to receive. We want to come to listen to messages. We want to come to being fed. But we never want to come to serve. We never want to come to give. And actually, Sam picked a really good match. Actually, at first I was quite disappointed because he just skipped the song I picked so fast. I thought that he would keep on singing for 15 minutes because I like it so much. But when we sing the hymn that he picked, Living for Jesus, the more I go into it, the more I praise the Lord that our brother picked a good match, at least to my standard. Yes, after singing the first one, our conclusion will be only one. Yes, I want to live for you. But in what sense? How? How to live for our Lord? How about let us read some scriptures. In John 13:16. How about I have Barry read for us? Thank you. And the 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. Foreign, please. And then verse 11 to 15, maybe Maria? Yeah.
And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound them, now you also must complete the doing of it. But as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by equality, but now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack.
In here, actually, verse 12 also has been in my heart for a long, long, long time. Actually, the background of these few verses, Paul talking about the Church of Corinth to gather up support for the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. On the outside, looks like it may be something talking about financial help, but actually in verse 12, God revealed in my heart that if there is a willing heart, a willing mind, so it will be accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. So that means if we are willing for the Lord, for sure our Lord will accept. And He is fair to us. He won't ask for things that we don't have. He will expect things that we have from us. And also Luke 17. Verse 7 to 10. Have a Chong read for us. Yeah, after reading this passage, I think you all know what I am going to share. It is our servant attitude before the Lord. When we say that, yes, I love you, Lord, when we say that, yes, I want to live for you, Lord, that is our willingness. But are we ready? Are we ready to serve Him? Are we going to serve Him in the correct way? What is our attitude to serve Him? Are we going to serve Him out of obligation? Are we going to serve Him out of fear? The fear that if I do not serve Him, I will be doomed? Are we going to serve Him as a volunteer? Say that, what is a volunteer? I think, is it in the last year's retreat. A volunteer is, I have my time, I have my choice, when I am available, that I can do something for you in a good cause. That is a volunteer. But that is not a servant. A servant is, I die to myself, I die to my desire, I die to my own choices to accomplish someone's need. This someone, the focus is our Lord Jesus. So the focus today, this morning, is we try to understand what is servanthood. This word servant, those Bible scholars tell us has been in the scripture for over 1,000 times. No matter it is in the Old Testament or New Testament, God always referred to different things, my servant. Just like in the Old Testament, Abraham, David, Job, they are all called my servant. In the New Testament, the apostles Paul and Peter, in their books, just like in Romans, Paul saying that Paul is servant of Christ Jesus. In the book of James, James is servant of God. In Peter, Simon Peter is servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So, a servant. In the Bible, God keep on talking about servant. He never said, hey, I want to recruit some volunteer to do my thing. No, it is always my servant. And our attitude back to God is also your servant. As I said, a volunteer is picking things that I want to do. I decide to do. I am happy to do. In my own timing. In my own framework. When we come to see what happened in our daily lives, when we look back our walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. We will ask, are we a volunteer or are we a servant? A servant serves no matter what. A volunteer serves when he feels convenient. A servant serves out of commitment. A volunteer serves out of choices. In 1 Peter, the apostles challenge us, say that live as servants of God. We must settle the fact that we are called to life of servanthood that leads to loving act of service. Servant flows from the heart of a servant, not from our hand, not from our feet. We could say it this way: serving doesn't make you a servant, but if you are a servant, you will serve. I will use this sentence as my main theme this morning. You will hear this sentence a few times this morning. Serving doesn't make you a servant, but if you are a servant, you will serve. One day, Jesus revealed the importance of serving with no string attached. In the passage we just read from Luke chapter 17, that is the passage brought up by our Lord Jesus. He said, I paraphrase it, suppose you have a servant doing all the yard work and looking after all the sheep, all the cattle. Would you say to your servant when he comes back to the house from all his yard work, say that, come, sit down and eat, I have cooked for you? No. What will you say? You will tell him, prepare my meal. Get yourself ready and wait on me. Remember, prepare your master's meal. Get yourself ready and wait on your master. And after that, you may eat or drink. And then, will he say thank you to the servant? No. Even what is the attitude of the servant? The servant will say, I am unworthy. I am an unworthy servant. I have only do my own duty. When we go through this parable, one thing brought up in our mind again. What a poor servant. He has to go out to do all those outside work under the fierce sun, if it rains, under the rain, if it snows, under the snow. Not only doing hard labor, but when he finished everything outside, comes in into the house, for you and me, we will think, oh, I should take a rest, right? Shower up, sit down, eat a supper, take a rest, prepare for tomorrow's hard work again. No, in here, Jesus said, the master said, cook up my meal, ready yourself, and wait on me. After all this, then you may eat. And for us, we all expect our master will say, oh, okay, good work, we want to see this end, right? But This servant say, no, I'm unworthy. I'm only do things that I should. Sometimes serving is not very sensational. It involves exertions, and often we pay a price for it. If we found ourselves counting how much we serve, we better check our motives. In fact, if we are not willing to sacrifice something, we are not really understand the term of servanthood. Remember what I said. He has been out there working all day. Whenever I read this passage, I always think, this is a very poor master. Why? Because he looks like he only got one servant. Looks like this one servant doing everything for him. This one servant doing everything for him. That is our attitude. Sometimes when we are serving, we think that no one else doing things. It's always me, 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 and me again. What happened to the others? They all just sit there doing nothing? How come the master does not send more help to help me out? Then I can do my job better. Then he can be served better. In here, Jesus Christ, he wants us to see, even though you are the only one serving him, your attitude should be, I am an unworthy servant. I only do what I am supposed to do. Isn't it strange? When he comes back into the house, his muscle aching, right? Minerva just talking about massages. His muscle must be aching. His feet must be tiring. I want a massage badly. I want to shower up. I want to clean up myself. I want to take a rest. But the master said, no. Not yet. Once again, cook up my meal. Prepare yourself and wait on me. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There is really no way around it. When we follow Jesus Christ, we are saying, somewhat like saying goodbye to ourselves, and we should give up all our rights. That is the attitude. Once again, I would like to bring up my theme sentence. Serving doesn't make you a servant. But if you are a servant, you will serve. And his service never ends. Look at it. Once again, you may find me long-winded this morning. He finished the whole day's hard work outside. When he comes into the house, he has other things to do. Looks like the work never ends. How come I keep on doing this and that and that and this? I'm tired. I want a break. Not what the master said. Did the master say, hey, come sit down and eat and drink? and refresh yourself? No. The master said, cook my meal, prepare yourself, and wait on me. No break. Our service is continuous. No matter how tired you are, how hungry you are, there is no time to relax. This is the principle. A servant's service may change location, may change the way we do things, may change in some outside element. But the work itself, the service itself, will not stop. Actually, his job description, we're always talking about job description, is very simple. Just do everything the master commands you. And listen to how Jesus said in the later half of the passage. When he talked to the servant saying that, come along and eat and sit down and be merry and happy. No. The master just command him to work again. A servant serves whenever, wherever, and whoever, and doing whatever it takes. Matthew Henry, a very good commentary author, saying that we must make the end of one service as the beginning of another. When we have been working for God, we must still wait on God continually to seek what is next for us. I think some of us may feel like we already put in our time. I have done enough. We have done the hard labor outside, and now I want to sit down and relax myself. Brothers and sisters, if we are alive, we are still a servant. No way to escape it. The location, as I said, may be the intensity, the way of service may be changing. But no Christ follower will have the option of sitting down to have our needs being met by our Lord when there are still things to do. Go in a little bit more detail about serving. It's when we look at the servant saying that to spend time preparing and getting himself ready to serve, to wait before the master. These are good words to help us make sure we have our prayer before our Lord. We study and we pump up our service. This servant has to get himself ready. What does it mean? Get yourself ready. That means we have to prepare. Just like in that scripture we read, Paul said, if we have a willing heart, if we are ready, it will be accepted. You have to be ready. A willing heart is not enough. Readiness is needed. So for an example, if you are a Sunday school teacher, you have to prepare your lesson to serve. You are a group leader, Bible study, fellowship group leader. You have to prepare before you can lead. Then we will have another question. Well, then is it too harsh for us? That looks like no fun at all. We have hope. The servant in the story, Jesus said, is able to sit down to a meal, what, after he has served his master. That is a time that will come, that we will have our reward. But Moody said, the reward of service is more service. When we truly, truly understand the service, just like the hymn 373 we just sang, we will not grumbling on more service. We will grab hold to that chance that, yes, Lord, I want more work for you. I want more headaches. I want more desperation. I want more misunderstood for your sake. Because that is the way. That is the way that I can be grow. I can be mature in you. In 1 Corinthians, it says, therefore, my dear brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. A servant should not expect to be thanked once again. After going out all day, working outside and working inside, no doubt he is tired. For us, when we put up our time, put up our effort, we expect some, at least some appreciation. But it never come to him. Jesus said, will you thank the servant? He said, no, you won't. You will just tell him to do more work. The idea of the master express gratitude, it could be constructed as if, I did so much work for him, he owed me something. But it is not the case. Just like in the book of Job said, can any man be of benefit to God? Some of us think that God somehow indebted to us for all we have done for him. This kind of thinking will get us into deep trouble. Because God doesn't indebt it to us. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, God doesn't own us anything. He owns us. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We were bought for price. We do not own ourselves. We are not entitled to a word of thanks or appreciation. Our focus is often on our feeling, whereas this servant was focused on just doing his job. Here's the amazing thing. The least thing in his mind was the feeling that he should be thanked for doing what he's supposed to do. So many of us, including myself, of course, when we serve, we have so many expectations. These expectations will lead us into frustrations, angry, and mad. And, logically, somehow, soon enough, we are telling ourselves, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to serve. I have to take a break. Because I can't take it anymore. Because things didn't happen the way I wanted to be. God does not need us to serve him. It is our duty, it is our delight to serve him. He is under no obligation to reward us. But of course, don't take me wrong, a word of appreciation from the brothers and sisters, a word of thank you from the brothers and sisters are needed. We are still human beings. So, we should do things not on the receiving end, we should do things on the dish out end, that means giving end. When we look at brothers and sisters serving, especially serve us, we should give our appreciation to him or her. When we are being served, we should give our thank you, thankfulness to him or her. But we, as the one who would like to model Christ in our daily living example, should not expect appreciation from our Lord. When I'm saying that it is dangerous to expect affirmation and wrong for us to expect acknowledgement, because it is wrong in our motive of service. Once again, serving doesn't make you a servant, but if we are a servant, we will serve. A servant, once again, a servant just do what is expected of him. But unfortunately, many of us want to know what serving will cost us and how it will affect us. We just can't. We just tell, what is it for me? Can I do it? Oh, do I have time to do it? If the benefit outweighs the cost, then, well, it may be able to fit into our schedule. Then we may be able to do a little. This verse helps us to see what a servant is about. A servant's heart is intent upon, and his will is bound to, the will and wishes of his master. If I am your servant, what you say goes. Someone put it this way: regardless of how much we do, we cannot do more than is expected of us. Can we really say that we have done everything we have been told to do? Instead of having a feeling of entitlement, we need to see ourselves as unworthy servants. It brings me to reflect in Psalm 123. It says, I paraphrase it, as the eyes of the slave, the servant, look at the hands of his master, and the eyes of the maid look at the hands of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. When the master moves his fingers, the servant will follow. The servant does not complain or bargain or debate. He or she just simply obey like the child Samuel, who respond to the Lord's calling in the temple. Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." God calls us to be servants. Do you think you're worthy of recognition? Or do you say, I'm just got treated better than I should, because I'm not just a servant, I'm an unworthy servant? Actually, all this time, we boil down to one word: obedience. Am I going to serve myself or serve others? The servant does his duty out of devotion to the master. Once again, serving doesn't make you a servant, but if you are a servant, you will serve. It is not me first, it is he first, Christ first. We have to surrender We have to surrender to our Master, to our Savior. Because He Himself in the Gospel said, "I am among you as one who serves." Also, the scripture we said, no one can be higher than the Master. If our Master also serves, our servant spirit should be the one who model after Him. We should choose to be a servant, not a volunteer. If we have our volunteer mind, maybe it is time for us to think, to rethink. Go back to our Lord, before Him, to reconsider our service. We are a servant, not a volunteer. We don't have our timetable. We don't have our desire. We only do things according to what Master told us. Also, prepare to serve. Prepare to serve, it needs action. You cannot just sit there, "I'm prepared. I want to serve, but no one calls on me." Yes, spiritually, we have to prepare ourselves ready for service. But physically, we have to sign up for service. We have to tell the people who are responsible that I am willing, I'm ready, give me the opportunity to serve. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. It is not about us. Do not think that, oh, if I go to tell that, can I do this? That maybe I am just too of myself. I don't know how to use that word. But it is not about us. This is not a me church. It is He church. Serving does not make you a servant, once again. But if we want to be a servant, we will serve. One last word is in Luke chapter 12. Jesus said, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Is God this morning ask in our heart? Does He demand in our heart? Just like someone enlists you, say that, "Come, I want you. I want your service. You've been sitting there too long. You've been sitting at your house too long. You've been sitting in front of the computer too long. You've been sitting before your book too long." Most of all, we have been sitting in ourselves too long. It is time to step out. It is time to serve. It is time to be a servant, that we may serve. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you give us this morning, then we can all come before you to consider our service before you, to consider the true meaning of servanthood. Lord, so many times we consider serving you, but actually we are serving our own motives. We are serving out of obligation. We are serving out of fear. We are serving out of emotion. Lord, once again, bring it back. Bring it back to the right attitude. Bring it back before you at your feet, that we can look up to you. We will look up to our example how to serve. Lord, we do not want to serve ourselves, we want to serve you. Just like in the scripture said, we are an unworthy servant. We want to serve you, we are unworthy. It is you who uplift us to serve you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus.